If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Time for our Thursday visit with Richard Roper. Richard, good morning. I know Dalton is close to you, so you're following this story about the Pope's house closely, aren't you?
It's an ongoing story, and we're up to 97.2% of local reporters now saying Dalton instead of Dalton, but I'm still working on it, guys. Still working on it.
Yeah, don't give up.
Still working.
So it could be a big moneymaker for the village, couldn't it?
Yeah, what happened was Tuesday night, the board, there's, you know, a thing called eminent domain, so basically they can buy up a home like this. Now, there was a rehabber who fixed it all up last year. It was a very nice home, you know. And the problem with that is, what you want to do, Bob, is go back to the way it looked in the 60s. So, you know, they fixed it all up so it's very modern. But you want to, here's what I think Dalton needs to do. And there's a lot of debate there because they're saying, hey, we have so many financial problems in our village and we're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on this home. You got to lean into it all the way. Like the Reagan boyhood home in Dixon or the Lincoln homes. You have these great, you know, and it's the Pope. Now, I was at the celebratory mass video presentation at Rate Field. There were 40,000 people for that, and you saw all these nuns and priests and people coming from all over the Midwest, all over the world. They will come to the boyhood home. If you build it,
they will come.
And they're talking about maybe buying the house next door. So what really they need to do is, you know, do it like a business. You know, here's what I was thinking. I'm going to say somebody, and he doesn't know I'm going to say the name. But, you know, Grant DePorter, the guy from Harry Carey's, he's the master at promotion. The Bartman ball. The 1919 White Sox ball. You know, get somebody like Grant. I mean, you just lean into it. You charge an admission. You have Pope. You can sit at the, you know, the Formica counter where the Pope as a child was served some Jello and Kool-Aid by his mom.
Well, maybe the Vatican would send some memorabilia.
I think actually they will. I really mean this. I think it could be a huge moneymaker for the village, and then they could put those profits back into fixing up the streets and, you know, things like that.
Purchase price still up in the air, right?
Yeah, there's an auction. It looks like it's going to go for about $250,000. But the way things work, I think the village then has the right to say, okay, we're going to match that price. So they are going to, you know, they're going to exercise their eminent domain. You just got to do it the right way, I think.
Exercise, not exorcise.
No, that would be a completely different house. That's my boyhood home, which was on Maryland Avenue in Dalton.
As you know, July 1 meant new laws in Illinois and Indiana. What caught your attention here?
I love this, you know, because they go into effect right away. They're already into effect a few days later, right? And the minimum wage is going up, which I think is always a good thing. And I know, for some small businesses, that becomes an issue. But I think it's now going to be what? It's $15 an hour. Now it's going to go up to $16.60. I wanted to ask you, Mr. Surratt, because you and I don't think I've ever talked about that. What did you ever have a minimum wage job? Do you remember what it was?
I delivered newspapers for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's non-union labor, as we found out. You know, 6-year-old down there in the little tricycles. Well, I was thinking about this when I talked to my, you know, my family, because they remember more about this stuff than I do. I had a couple of part-time jobs, but my first minimum wage job was actually in Dalton at Fava Shoes. Remember Fava Shoes on Shirley Boulevard? About a mile from the Pope's house. We didn't know it at the time. But at $2.35 an hour, and I was pretty happy with that at the time. So you think about it, it's gone up quite a bit because you get that check at the end of the week.
You were selling shoes?
Yeah. Listen, buddy. I was Ashton Kutcher with the flare jeans and the mullet and, you know, not only selling the shoes, but you got to move those accessories, the crochet purses for the ladies,
you were upselling
the heel protectors for the guys, you know.
Oh, sure you were.
That's where you'd pick up the extra bucks.
I want to know more about this business with the hotel shampoo bottles. I don't understand what changed there, because they stopped with that. Most hotels just
Many
have a dispenser,
have. It
right?
Depends. It depends on the chain and the level of the hotels and all that. But I think this is the first state to do it, because you get those little bottles of shampoo and conditioner. And, you know, it was always a challenge in the shower, because you're like, is this body lotion? I'll just take a chance and put all three in my hair and call it a day. So there is an environmental thing, obviously, and a savings thing. So they're not going to be able to do that in Illinois.
Well, it's illegal now.
They're going to come in. they'll, you know, you pack away, you try to get that little hair dryer for yourself, and maybe, you know, a nice plastic toothbrush and a couple of bottles of shampoo.
Well, we all like to take the little soaps and things. The hotels stopped doing that. I thought they're just saving money.
They are.
Maybe it was they knew this law was coming.
Well, it is. You know, think about bringing in all those little bottles in every time, but because a lot of places now they have the dispensers, right?
Yes.
You know, so
uh-huh.
which seems to make a lot more sense.
You can't pry that off the wall. Usually.
Well, I tried, but I will say, you know, it's like that bar of soap. I wish they would also, you know, get some legislation saying it has to be more than the size of a postage stamp, because you can get like one hand washed and then it disappears in your hand.
I know. Finally,
yes,
we have some. I don't know if you call this breaking popsicle news, but it's history, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to give a shout out to the Bomb Pop, which is celebrating its 70th anniversary. Now, that's the one everybody knows, the red, white, and blue. I think it's like blue raspberry, and I think the white is lime, and you know, but everybody knows that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is interesting to me, Bob, because you go back to the 50s when the Bomb Pop was first created, we were really embracing the whole atomic nuclear war thing. So the original Bomb Pop actually looked like a bomb, an actual bomb. And I think it was brown, actually.
So everybody was fearing nuclear annihilation, but happy to participate in these marketing ideas.
And it was only in the 70s that they went with the red, white, and blue, and more of the rocket shaped to kind of celebrate America. But in the 50s, you know, you had the atomic fireballs. Remember that? And the ray guns and the Geiger counters. And there was one package I saw looking up this stuff. It says, harmless nuclear bomb for children.
Harmless.
And they sold it. So they told you.
We'll be thinking about you as we enjoy red, white, and blue popsicles this
exactly.
weekend. It's Richard Roper. Thank you, Richard. We'll talk again next Thursday.